Technorama episode 497, put all your space eggs in one basket.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
I'm doing some geocaching, and my GPS says it's around here somewhere. Where?
Over there, in the media corner.
Oh, it's a mushroom.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts to disregard all safety rules. Here, your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama, the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time joining us, hey, welcome. This is what we do. This is why we do it. This is the fun part. If you are returning, once again, thank you for coming back. We really don't know why you keep coming back, but we enjoy it. We have fun. You have fun. Everybody wins.
I know why they keep coming back.
Well, it must be... You got me. I'm Chuck Tomasi here in Phoenix, Arizona. Joining me all the way from South Carolina is my good buddy Craig. How are you, Craig?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing great. I know there's been rumors about my death, but
we took a couple of weeks off for personal and work related things, and it feels like
it's been a year. Yeah, and see the internet twists it into a weird rumor. Gosh.
It feels like it's been a really long time. 3 weeks is not that long. But
I know,
in terms
right?
of doing shows, I feel like I'm out of the practice. I did the same thing at church today, going, it's a good thing I wrote a book on all the instructions because I forgot what half the stuff was. I go wait for 2 weeks.
As you're thumbing through the podcasting for dummies.
That's not at church. No, I wrote I put together a 3-ring binder with lots of pictures and arrows because I knew even if I remembered it, which I probably don't, you know, everything about posting to the website and converting to MP3, all the step-by-step, it's like 50 pages in this book. And right. it's a way we can get new people onboarded quicker. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. It's what I do.
Is that how you get yourself out of a job, by documenting it well?
That's right. Yeah. Only I'm still doing it. I don't know why.
Tricks on you. That was your job to document the thing.
We have some feedback. We have listener All feedback. Right. We have lots of stuff. So let us play the feedback music.
Here we go, boys and girls.
Letters. Boom. Oh, we get letters. Boom. We get your letters every day.
We're both doing the same dance. That's kind of weird.
Yeah. It is weird.
Because you can't see me.
Yeah. Actually, I can. I'm looking at tab number one. Here we go.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Little delay, but we are doing the same dance. Oh, that's weird.
We asked last show the question of the week, which was more like question of the 3 weeks. What do you do and why do you do it? And Rob writes and he says, I print t-shirts. I've been a printer since I was 11 years old, way back in 1982. I was pretty much born into it. He's got ink in his blood. Plus, right. the benefits are great. Well, none of the usual benefits, but I don't have to wear a tie, and I get to make custom t-shirts for myself.
Hey, just don't scare him. He'll ink you.
That was on Nemo. Oh, I inked myself.
I know.
Scott also writes, I am an architect because I love herding cats. After That's all, right. that is what
designing
and constructing buildings is really all about. And also because I have not learned how to play D&D for a living.
He hasn't. Come on, man. You got to crack that nut.
Twitch? I don't know. What do you... Some people have. I'm not sure where
it's
or when.
Riveting. I know. Yeah, some people do.
John writes in. He says, computer repair is my thing. I love the problem-solving aspect of it that I get. And yep. Clinton, we're not mentioning any last names for privacy's sake, but you know there are so many Clintons that listen to the show, you might not figure out which one it is.
Yeah. You can't figure that one out. You're not Sherlock, I'll tell you that.
He said, because if I didn't do it, it wouldn't get done. Fair point. Enough. So, Craig, why do you do what you do? This is a very general question. It's not related specifically to your occupation. It's not related to your hobby. It's just, what makes you tick? Why do you do what you, like, sounds kind of like my mother. Why do you do what you do?
I don't know how to explain why I like podcasting. I guess, let's start with that. I do several things. One of them is podcasting. And I do it because I always wanted to do radio, but I wasn't good enough for it. So I went to podcasting. No. Fallback. No, I mean, I really, really, really wanted to do a morning show. And of course, that didn't really pan out. And it's kind of hard to get into radio, especially into a morning show where.
Morning as in time of day, not morning as in somebody died, right?
Right.
We could do right. a morning show.
Yeah.
So let I wanted us to do pay a, our final I wanted, respects. Yeah.
I wanted to do a morning radio show. How about that? And so that didn't work out. And then fast forward a few years, here comes podcasting. And well, you know, I wanted to do that. But I like, as far as my career goes, I like to code. And as John said earlier, I like to fix, you know, resolve problems, especially coding. I always tell people, I always feel like I'm kind of building the puzzle I'm solving. You know, you're going, okay, well, here's the end game, but how do I get there? And you kind of build out your puzzle as you're working on it. So I like that aspect of it.
Oh, okay. So you've got a God complex. You want to create things out of nothing.
I create my own problems and solve them.
Yeah. I like to look at them as solutions rather than solving problems. It's creating solutions for other people's problems. So I'm the solution creator. But I went a level deeper into this. It came to me probably a week after we asked this question. Why do you do what you do? I want to leave my dent in the universe, as Steve Jobs would put it. I do podcasting because there's going. I underneath, I think I'm a bit of an archivist. I like to save memories. I like to preserve things so that long after I'm gone, someone will be able to listen or watch or get this stuff. It's the same reason I do things that I do at work. So it seems a bit existential and maybe even a bit grim, but I don't want to be forgotten. I want to leave some legacy, some memory behind so that, you know, my grandkids or great grandkids can just pull up YouTube or whatever incarnation it is when they get to be older. Maybe it's augmented reality and go,
HoloTube.
Grandpa was a goof.
I know. Well, you know what? I can totally relate to that because, you know, that's where, some of my photography comes into play.
Yeah.
That's my other big hobby. I want to preserve not just memories, but moments that I witness. And that's what I try to do when I want photography. So that makes sense as a, like you said, a deeper level for me as well, especially with podcasting. And so I like to help other people. I like to inform or even, you know, I've done that plenty as far as helping. I've written apps for people and helped them with their podcasts or whatever. So, yeah, I'm with you. That's exactly that would nail it down for me as well. I want to make an impact.
We also got a few feedback from Yorga. We had some discussion going back and forth. These are from several shows ago in some cases. We were talking about, I think you mentioned, hey, Yorga, you ought to come visit the U.S. He said, I did visit these states once on a road trip through the Midwest. I do recall that. We didn't get a chance to meet up in person, but he was here, and I hope that when he's back, he gets to see us again. Yes.
The only problem was he was traveling where we weren't. So
exactly.
On, he needs to work on his geography some.
Yorga is also a pen pal. We exchange postcards. And he said, also, you guys usually get different cards. So when I got that one of the church with the Northern Lights, you got something different. You got one that was a montage or a collage, what do you call it? We've had several on there. I don't have mine handy at the moment, but
well, here it is right here. As a matter of fact, I'll show it to the camera.
Yeah.
This one has
that's pretty
cool. A couple of different scenes on it. You can see the Northern Lights on it as well. So yes, this is pretty cool. I like the what do you call the O with the slash in it and not a zero, but the
you see I don't right know. There? I remember it from the Broderbund software company and I don't
Yeah, well, I think that was a zero, but yeah.
Maybe the company was. I don't think they're around anymore. No. We were also talking about just now, a couple of weeks ago, when I was in California for my brother's promotion to chief of police. He said, so chief of police, is that like the highest function? Because I didn't think of this at the time, but Yorga is over in Europe, and not everything we say in terms of government makes sense to everybody that in our listenership. But my brother is chief of police now. He got sworn in as chief in Carmel, California, a couple of weeks ago. Very proud of him. Way to go, bro. And the chief of police is he's also in charge of the fire and safety and public works and a whole bunch of other things in the municipality. I mean, Carmel is not a really big city. I didn't realize exactly how small it was. It's only like 1 square mile.
I think I've been through it before.
Yeah, it's easy to go through. It's easy.
Hey, so is he going to get a promotion once they break off from the United States?
You mean after the big earthquake?
Yeah, no. They were petitioning to leave the United States.
Carmel was?
California.
Oh, California. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I don't know how that's working out.
So he reports to, was it the mayor, Donna? Yeah, he reports to the mayor.
He should work directly with the mayor, and of course he's over the police staff. The officers and stuff. You know what's funny? Let me put a little bit of context on that. Yorga was messaging you and I through Facebook Messenger.
Yes.
And I got this message came in roughly, I don't know, a few minutes after I got up. You know, I got up, I picked up my phone, I was going to go start getting ready to take a shower and stuff. And a message comes in, and I'm looking at it kind of blurry out. I'm like, why is Yorga asking about the chief of police? Does he need to bail out or something? It took me a few minutes to figure out why he was asking.
I believe there's also a city administrator in there somewhere, too, that is in all this. And we also talked about the new movie that's coming up, Dunkirk. He said, yes, Dunkirk is in France, very close to the Belgian border. That's where all the soldiers got stranded. We also have a voicemail. Oddly enough, Craig and I were listening to a video clip or audio clips from years and years ago.
Now, I think in all fairness, we probably missed this because we were off for a few weeks and
it was Christmas. And yes, this was in our voicemail box since I believe the December 22nd. So sorry, this is from T. Morris.
Hey, Chuck. Hey, Craig. It's T. Morris calling. How are you? And happy
Good.
New year.
Thanks.
So it is Good. Currently the week of Christmas and I'm on my way to work. So I'm listening to Technorama. The holiday party, and you and Craig and Mike were all commiserating about how old you felt, so I wanted to go ahead and chip in because it actually directly involves Michael R. Menengay, a man who I haven't seen in quite a time, and I missed that big palooka. Anyway, putting in perspective time and age and our offspring,
yes.
Sonic Boom, my daughter, was born while... while I was visiting Phoenix, Arizona. The story goes that it was 2004, the doctor said, "Well, we're on trajectory for an August delivery," and the wife said it was okay, and the doctor said it was okay, and I flew out to Arizona for I believe it was a Westercon, and the Dragon Page was they weren't even podcasting then. This was when they were doing internet radio, and
right.
So little wink to all the fans from Silicon Valley. Anyway, we were out there, and we were going to do a WesterCon show. I was all planned to be on there, and on the first day heading out to WesterCon, my phone, sadly at that time, my mobile phone had been left at the Menengays. I had been spending the night over with the Terras, with Shivo. And then they got hold of Evo's number, called Evo, and told Evo, he's becoming a dad today. So I scrambled to get the last flight out of Phoenix. Got on the plane, and by the time I reached the East Coast, Sonic Boom was born. And she has been... She is now 12. So we've been at this and in each other's lives in some way, shape, or form for well over a decade. Let's let all that soak in for a bit. She's heard it all. Yeah. If you remember, Chuck, she gave us the little intro for season 2 of Podcasting for Dummies.
Yep.
So there's a little blast in the past for you. That was one of her first words, too. Podcast. So I must be doing something right as a parent. Anyway, you guys take it easy. Let's look ahead to a good 2017. Good talking to you. Bye.
Thanks, T. If you want to get in touch with us, you can call us on the listener line, 707-530-2428. Or you can drop us an email, technoramachuckchat.com. Leave us a message on the Facebook page. There's many different ways. We want to hear from you. 12 years.
I think he needs to update his some of the audio clips we have of him and Sonic Boom for Technorama.
Yeah, don't we all?
I think repeat the exact same one. Hey, repeat them all.
Oh,
exactly
kinda like,
the same.
Kind of like those pictures where you take a picture when you're a kid and then you take a picture when you're an adult. The redos.
Right.
Yeah, let's do redo audio clips.
Let's redo the last 12 years of Technorama.
No. No, let's not. Let's play the ending out.
All right.
Thank you very much to everybody who wrote in or called in. We want to hear from you. That means, we are booking through this show. It's time for the history thing. Since it's only me and you, we don't roll the die. Aww. On this day in history for February 1st, 2017. Why, you ask, are you saying February 1st when you're watching this live? Because we released the show on Wednesday in podcast audio form. This is the 32nd day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 333 days remaining in 2017. Is that like half of a hell number? 333?
Yes.
It was on this date in 1893 that Thomas A. Edison finishes construction for the first motion picture studio, the Black Maria in West Orange, New Jersey.
Also on this date in 1918, Russia adopts the Gregorian calendar.
Gregorievich calendar for them.
Yeah. Georgia, Russia.
It was on this date in February 1st, 1964. The Beatles have their first number one hit in the United States with I Wanna Hold Your Hand.
Don't quit your day job. Okay. Don't quit your day job, dear one. The same date in 2003, Space Shuttle Columbia disintegrated during the re-entry of mission STS-107.
I remember that.
Into the Earth's atmosphere, killing all seven astronauts aboard. Very sad.
I was on a ski trip in Marquette. February 1st, 2013, The Shard, the tallest building in the EU, is open to the public. Did they get their title stripped now that they're not as part of Brexit?
I guess so.
Happy birthday goes out on this day to German lexicographer, historian, and cryptographer. Wow, that's a lot. Johannes Trithemius.
Phew. Very good.
Born on this date in 1462.
And also born in February 1st, 1635, German archaeologist and scholar Mark Gude. There was a D in there.
Jacob Roggeveen, the Dutch explorer, was born 358 years ago today. We are really not doing well today with the names.
No. And here we go to keep the trend going. French lexicographer and philosopher Emile Littré was born 216 years ago today.
I'd like to buy a vowel. I think it's Emile Littré. Anyway.
Littré. That's what I said.
I got one. American actor Clark Gable was born on this date in 1901.
And Emilio G. Sergei was an Italian-American physicist and academic. Nobel Prize laureate was born on this date in 1905.
Welsh actor, director, and screenwriter Terry Jones was born in the state in 1942. We still have a few minutes left of music, so let's keep going. Listener birthdays, we are going to go back in time, take our time machine back to the last show. January 24th, Cynthia Fry, a.k.a. Sinful, who I believe is also watching at this very moment.
She is.
The 25th is your birthday. Happy birthday, old man. What are you now, one step away from the big 5-0?
Who, me?
Yeah.
No, a couple more years.
Weren't you born in 68?
Nine.
69. Okay.
Oh. Yeah.
You're younger than my brother. Okay.
I got in right under the wire.
Right. The moonshot.
That's right.
Happy birthday on the 26th to Will the Computer Guy.
Will the Computer Guy.
Right.
The 27th is Mark in Memphis, or Mark from Memphis. Whichever did he land up on that? January 27th is also the birthday of Chip Burkhead from the Scotch Cast. If it's not Scotch, it's crap. February 1st has a couple of birthdays. Matt Baum, a.k.a. Racer X from Pittsburgh, PA. Brandon Kirkwald, in Minnesota. Three birthdays of people we know. on February 2nd, which I believe is Groundhog Day, which is why it must be repeated birthdays. Gary Lindros, a.k.a. Gary from Jacksonville. Happy birthday, Gary. Chuck Provenzano, a.k.a. Pod Lurker, a.k.a. Chuck's evil twin. I think I'm surprised by that every year.
I thought
we have Luke Vader, who's Chuck's lurker. Chuck Stalker.
I think you're always surprised because you thought you were the evil twin part of that equation.
I had a goatee once.
Once.
February 2nd is also Oreo Cookie Monster's birthday.
Me wonder when his birthday was.
Oh.
Yeah.
One cookie. Me like frying pan for breakfast. Nom, 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 nom.
February 3rd is also Ewan Campbell McGregor from Scotland, UK. Chad W. Smith from Chattanooga, Tennessee is on the 7th, as is Brian, the big BS in PA. We have wonderful titles. If you would like to contribute your name and wonderful title and possible location of last known origin, you are welcome to do so. Go over to our birthday calendar at chuckchat.com/wiki. Thank goodness the little prompter showed up at the bottom of the screen. I get help. Yeah. And that's the way it was on this date for February 1st, 2017. I also like to point out that the events and birthdays were made by the new... I put a new front end, a new mobile app portal for my On This Day in History app and fixed the by one date bug.
Actually, you know what? You should make a little video and post it. So
I am going to. Actually, I'm going to. Even though this is the most single purpose app I have ever written, it's me once a week. I do want to show off some stuff.
Oh, do you remember that?
The band is going out. We got to say goodbye to the band. Bye, band.
See you later. Hey, did you remember? You said the single most
single purpose app.
Single purpose app that you ever written?
Yes.
I thought about when you said that was that little app that says click here if you're not drunk, and you go try and click it and it moves around the screen.
And that's fun too.
Yeah. I can't click it. I've been clicking for an hour.
We have some interesting news. This is legitimate news that we have. We have one that's odd and one that's fascinating. I find this first one fascinating.
And but, you know what? I was going to say, listener, you decide for yourself which one's which.
The first one is that scientists have turned hydrogen into metal. That's right.
Now, this is pretty amazing.
This is amazing. For nearly 100 years, scientists have dreamed of turning the lightest of all elements, hydrogen, into a metal. Now, in a stunning act of modern-day alchemy, scientists at Harvard University have finally succeeded in creating a tiny amount of what is the rarest and possibly most valuable material on the planet, they report in the Journal of Science. There is an update in this article. Physicists may have made a mistake in claiming to have turned hydrogen into a metal, experts say.
Oh, great.
What was that? Oh, I think the video started to play.
Yeah, there's a stupid auto.
Is it autoplay
videos? Yeah.
Okay, it stopped. I've got the little jigsaw puzzle piece. Maybe I need a plug-in updated. For metallic hydrogen could... Now it's going again. Stop that.
We have made an error.
Yeah, thanks. I got to keep scrolling up, then scrolling down, and now I can't scroll down. Go, browser, go. Back to the story. Where was I? For metallic hydrogen could theoretically revolutionize technology, enabling the creation of super-fast computers, high-speed levitating trains, and ultra-efficient vehicles. Now it's scrolling too far. It's trying to catch up.
Okay.
I'm down in the reader comments. But the neat thing about this is, is it really, really happening? And B, is this another cold fusion thing? B, is it, if it does, this could be a big breakthrough for scientists if you can do it in large enough quantities, because it means that You'll be able to, at stable room temperature, you'll be able to have things like MRI magnets that don't need to be super cooled down to like minus 10 billion below. Yeah. You can have a lot of power from a little thing. I mean, it's you can have transmission, power transmission lines with like superconductor qualities. You're not losing power as you go over long distances or have to jack up the voltage to super high transformer, you know, 40 gigawatts.
Well, and that's been the goal for a lot of this for years. Cause I remember watching, well, I started to say a video on the internet, but it was more like stuff on TV where they were talking about superconducting magnets and the promise of what they would bring. So, which is similar to what they were talking about here. Now, I clicked on the update link that you mentioned a moment ago.
Yes.
and this is what it says. Okay, first of all, the link said physicists may have made a mistake in claiming to have turned hydrogen into metal, experts say. Well, I clicked on the link. It says experts might have made a mistake in claiming to have turned hydrogen into a metal, experts say. The quote says, "I don't think the paper is convincing at all," one expert said. That's the quote. Well, that settles it for me.
Yeah, clearly the way scientific discoveries go is you publish a paper and then, you know, it's supposed to be validated by your peers.
Apparently they made one mistake when they were trying to make their claim that they had crushed hydrogen into a metal. Since two physicists claimed that they had finally succeeded in the feat the scientists had been attempting for almost 100 years, crushing hydrogen and turning it into a metal through alchemical process, such a discovery would potentially revolutionize. Blah blah blah. We already talked about that. Yep. The experts cast doubts on the claim of two scientists, both physicists at Harvard University. They have made a mistake. They may have mistaken something else for the important metal, a number of scientists said. So anyway, there you go.
We'll see. We'll keep you tuned in. Just let you know what we discover about this. The other discovery we have is that researchers create the first viable hybrid human pig embryo.
Which is scary to think about to begin with.
Well, there's advantages of doing this. Researchers have created a viable hybrid. I'm thinking about all those Vesson from Grimm.
I'm thinking about all those horror movies.
There's a reason they're doing this, and I'll read on. Researchers have created a viable hybrid part human, part pig embryo for the first time in history, according to a study published in the Journal of Cell Thursday. Researchers were able to successfully inject human stem cells into pig embryo and grow tissue that would form the early stages of human organs like the heart, liver, and neurons. Although it's in its very early stages, experts believe the human pig chimera could be one day used to grow transplantable human organs in farm animals. Adding to the promise, scientific breakthrough is a separate study published in the Journal of Nature earlier this week details how an intentional team of researchers successfully performed an interspecies organ transplant using similar method to create a hybrid mouse-rat embryo. In that study, researchers grew a mouse pancreas inside a rat embryo, which was then transplanted into diabetic mice. As the Washington Post reports, the new pancreatic tissue cured the mice's diabetes without being rejected by the host. That, my friend, is huge. Because if we can get organ transplants that don't require a whole bunch of anti-rejection drugs, win, win, win.
Yeah. So the moral of the story here is you can have your bacon and get a spare heart in the same process.
That's the moral of the story?
Okay, you can have all the bacon you want. Oh, by the way, what the do you same want pig will give you a heart.
What do you want for breakfast? Bacon, ham, or a new kidney? I think on that note, we need to take our obligatory break.
I mean, I was going to do the, you know, kidney with the farmer beans and the nice Chianti. Never mind. Anyway.
It's time for Donna to play that cool video.
Before you break, I thought this was super creepy on the surface when I saw that. I was like, why would somebody be mixing human and pig and, you know, cells together?
I'm surprised it works. I'm flat out surprised it works.
Yeah, apparently that, I mean, this is, I was also reading a story about this because it fascinated me. And they were talking about making these kind of these hybrids with rats and mice. And sometimes it would it was a video. It was a video on YouTube, and they were the guy was talking about the benefits of this. Yeah. And he was saying the research that went into it and some of the previous research helped pave the way for what they're doing here. But one of them was taking mice and rats and then making a mouse rat. Mm-hmm. But the problem was if they did it the right way, the wrong way, the mice had smaller organs in some cases because the rat or the mice have a smaller liver, for example, than the rat, and it wouldn't sustain life. So there was certain ways they had to do this, and which kind of paved the way for them to start doing the human and pig stuff.
Okay. That makes sense.
But like you said, there's a whole nother thing is, would your body reject it? You know, what kind of, who knows? But it's interesting to think about.
What, we live in the future. All right, let's take our break then. Be right back.
You have never seen anything like this before. It's Geeks Gone Wild. Watch geeks uninhibited having the time of their lives. LAN parties, Bluetooth sniffing, hacking, and the Mountain Dew flows like water. You've never seen Cheetos consume this fast. Act now and receive not only Geeks Gone Wild Volume 1, but also get Geeks Gone Wild Con Edition and the Geeks Gone Wild D&D Weekend. Order today. Visa and MasterCard accepted. Offer not available in Canada. Must be 18 years or older to order.
Hello, America. This is Marlene Forte. I play Celia Flores on Fear the Walking Dead. And you are listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama. Stay tuned. You might even get some pozole.
You know, we haven't played that Geeks Gone Wild in a while.
Yeah, I know.
When you said Bluetooth sniffing, like, what did you have in mind there?
I have no idea. I don't know.
War driving.
I don't know. Just whatever. Just go with it.
All right. We're going to go on to the Hacks and Strange Stories. We have a museum that finds a real human skull in a 150-year-old taxidermy display. Craig, where do you get these stories, man?
Off this place called the Internet.
Okay.
There's tons of them.
Yeah, it's great material for our show.
That's right.
You think that these were written just for us. For more than a century, a taxidermy diorama, Arab courier attacked by lions, has stood in Pittsburgh's Carnegie Museum of Natural History, depicting a man on camelback fending off Barbary lions. The bizarre display has intrigued and repulsed generations of visitors. Throughout all these years, however, the piece managed to keep a disturbing secret. During restoration that began last year, a CT scan revealed that, like its camel and lions, the display's rider was constructed with natural, in quotes, natural materials. In this case, an actual human skull.
Wow.
I thought this was a painting at first. This is an actual sculpture statue thing.
Yeah. It's like it's pretty cool. It's, you see the guy on the camel. Yeah. It's, I started to say diorama, but it's much bigger than
the mannequin is purely a mannequin, except for its skull. Conservator Gretchen Anderson told the Tribune Review, "It's why the human face is as accurate as it is." Wouldn't it kind of mummify? They must have molded around the skull.
Well, they said it was a skull. The skull, okay. The bone.
Created by French taxidermist Edouard Verreaux in 1867 and acquired by industrialist Andrew Carnegie of Museum in 1899, Arab courier attacked by lions was long known to contain real human teeth as recently as last summer. However, staffers believed it contained no other human remains. As strange as the museum's discovery might be, it isn't entirely without precedent. In 1831, Verreaux and his brother Jules notoriously taxidermied an African sand person known as El Negro of Banyoles. I don't know if I said that even close, but it was close.
Yeah. Close enough.
Whose body was on display in Spain's Darter Museum until 1997. Normally, the museum would consider returning the remains to their country of origin for burial, as El Negro was in 2000, but staffers said that even DNA testing would provide insufficient information. Quote, "We cannot repatriate with the information we have now," said Anderson, "but hoping to continue our research, particularly with French archival resources, which have given us a number of new insights about the history of the diorama." You were correct. It is a diorama.
Oh, see? There we go. Okay. Well, I always thought dioramas were actually small, just the small.
No, not the shoebox things that Lisa Simpson makes.
Yeah, no. But I, you know what? I wonder if the artist said, "I just can't get this human head to look right, like a paper mache one or something. Let's just use a real skull and I'll work with that."
Every time I do this, it comes out looking like some celebrity. All right, shout out to the chat room. We have Weber Baker, Jack Jaffe, me and you, and my wife, Cynthia Fry, Tim Elliott, and probably a few others that haven't made comments yet. We would like to give you a shout out.
Hey, by the way,
yes,
there are comments coming through here. For some reason,
where did I see them?
I had to refresh my Facebook page so I could see them. So. It's kind of weird. I don't know.
Oh, there they are. Holy Toledo. There are lots of them. Yeah, no wonder I said it. It looked like everybody's being quiet tonight.
I saw your comment and I went, I bet he's not seeing this comment.
I'm not seeing the comments either. Now, are these in reverse chronological? Oh, Jack Jaffe says, I'm typing. Weber says, me too.
Yeah, thanks, Facebook.
Yeah. Failbook.
You have one job is to deliver comments and you can't do that.
Shh. Don't curse it. This is the first time in a long time we haven't had a video issue.
All right, fair enough.
This may, in fact, be our best video ever. We're ramping up to the big 500. Join us Sunday night at 9:30 Eastern time. Watch, like the Facebook page, follow the Facebook page, and you will be notified immediately when it's on. Now, next week is the Super Bowl, so you're probably not going to watch that unless you're a Falcons or Patriots fan, but hey. Join us. We'll be there. We're also cross-posting this video over to YouTube so that you can see it there. And you know where to go. Find us on our site, on Facebook, and all those other good places.
That's right.
We have two more things we got to do. Where's the Remember When segment? There it is. Ah, this music almost gets us in trouble.
We gotta talk over it so we don't don't get matched on YouTube.
Right.
La 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 la.
This isn't the music you're looking for.
No, it's not.
Okay.
Keep walking. Look around.
What I was looking for was an old clip that you had put together 2006, 2007, somewhere around there. About how you snuck into Star Wars with an audio recorder. I couldn't find it. I looked.
Yeah, Revenge of the Sith. Yeah. I have to go find that. It's around here somewhere.
What I wanted to do was play that earlier in the show because it ties directly into this. You can listen to a 1977 Star Wars audience react to the Death Star explosion. On May 25th, 1977, cinema as we
know it has changed forever.
When 20th Century Fox released the movie called Star Wars. Fans entering theaters that day did not know this at the time, but they still came out in droves to see Star Wars on the big screen, as they would do in the years to come for The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. A few years back, a fan released an audio recording from inside a theater where Star Wars was playing in 1977, which was later synced up to footage from the film. The end result offers fans a rare audio inside one of the first ever Star Wars screenings back in 77. On May 25th, 2013, a YouTube user named William Forsch uploaded a video that contained 5 minutes and 23 seconds of audio that he recorded from inside a 1977 screening. What? How did he record this? Did he have like a cassette player with him? That must have been huge.
I was trying to figure out what he was using, because I know, my dad worked with somebody that actually took a recorder and recorded the film. And I'm like, wait a minute. So back then, video cameras were, one, expensive,
and
two,
big.
Huge.
You had to hold them on your shoulder like a TV producer.
Can you imagine, what's this guy doing in front of me? I don't know. Whatever. got a big camera.
That's inconspicuous. No.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess a tape recorder was probably easier to walk around with. I had a tape recorder back in around that time. So,
did you ever watch Kentucky Fried Movie?
Oh,
there's a segment in there that makes fun of Enter the Dragon.
Right.
And the he says, "So how was your trip, Mr. Liu?" And he's just, and she starts pointing out all the hidden little microphones around the room. And there's a guy in the corner with a big shotgun mic. It's like, yeah, right. That's inconspicuous. That's what I picture this guy doing at the theater. He's sitting down with this very conspicuous microphone to record this. But what you do here is, and it's fun now that it's synced up with the actual footage, is they're doing the trench, you know, the iconic fly trench through run. The trench when Vader is in pursuit and Luke turns off his targeting computer.
Luke, turn on your targeting computer.
It's okay. I'm all right. Everything's okay down here. We're fine. Right. How are you?
Yeah, that's right. How are you? Boring conversation. Sorry, anyway,
mixing up my scenes. I can't keep my lines straight. I don't know what's going on. But when Han starts shooting the Vader's wingmen out, the crowd erupts like, "Yay!" I don't remember any of that. And then of course, he shoots and the Death Star blows up and they cheer even louder. It's great.
Yeah. I remember that because that was, you know, you're thinking, okay, Luke's about to either get killed or blow this thing up. And all of a sudden, you know, somebody fly, you know, you start seeing the blasters and you see them Millennium Falcon. It's like, oh my God, that's awesome. I remember cheering for that.
I didn't find the scene that filled with tension that it
what?
Required that release of emotion.
Which, wait a minute. You must have seen the special editions in the 1990s.
I was not taken in by your cheap parlor tricks. Your sorcerer's ways.
Come on. Hey, surely somebody, well, we had, he's got one or two recordings on there, isn't on that article. Surely somebody else is
calling
the
me
same
Shirley
thing.
Again.
Look, that's let the us question know. Of the week. That's the question of the week. Did you experience Star Wars like we're experiencing it, right?
What was your reaction when the Death Star blew up? Right.
Or even the Falcon flew in. At that point.
We'll play some appropriate music then.
Yeah, there you go.
This is the music where we thank our patrons. Thank you very much to Kyle Nishioka, Chris MC, Nick St. Gabriel, John Noble, Mike Wills, Alexis Duran, Amy Bowen, Steve Therian, Ben Vaughn, Abner Braverman, Saturday Morning Media, Dennis Patnod, and Leon. You support this show. You are among our best friends. And we want to add you, dear listener or viewer, you right
if
there.
If you
want to
buy our friendship, hit us up on Patreon.
We'll give you a shout out and we give you exclusive content that is available to no one else. But that's our thank you to you. Thank you very much for your patronage on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/technoramapodcast. Or, of course, there's a link on our website at chuckchat.com/technorama. What's next?
Geek Library.
We have music for that. Oh, yeah. We have the Dave Dorn theme one. Should I throw in the Super Friends again?
Here, why not?
Hey, is that better? Look,
you got it right in the right time, too.
You got like a bar and a half to hit. It's not a hard target.
Right.
I've shot bigger womp rats back home. Anyway.
Computers, yeah. What?
Seven lies you should not tell your computer fixer person. How are we doing on time? Oh, we're doing all right. We're not going to go through all the details on these, but number one is don't say you restarted your computer.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what they always tell you to do. You can try number two, Craig.
Number two. Don't say you've made sure everything is plugged in.
You're not supposed to. Why do I think that? Don't tell them you rebooted your router's already in here.
Yeah, no.
Number three, don't tell them you don't know how you got that ransomware virus or malware on your computer.
Right. Wink, wink, nod, nod.
That sounds like Strong Bad. Have you been downloading JPEGs?
Absolutely not.
Yes. 480,000 of them? Very yes.
Very yes.
Julie and I still say very yes all the time.
Very yes. That's funny.
Number
okay,
four.
Number four. Don't tell them your teenage son has been using your computer, quote unquote.
Craig, you have a teenage son.
Yes.
Number five, don't tell them your toddler has never, ever touched the slot loading disc player.
Slot loading disc player. Don't tell them you don't know how the computer got covered in apple schnapps. What?
In our case, it would be beer.
I know. Yeah, that's happened a couple of times, hasn't it? Or water.
Water. Yeah. Number seven, don't tell them it arrived broken. I love the quote in here. An anonymous technician from New York shares a particularly bad story. And I think we've gone through some bad computer stories before. This one time we had a customer that brought her new iMac back to us saying she found the display broken after opening it. The unit was getting no video and the glass was broken. She swore it was in this condition since she opened it and threw a fit demanding a new one. One of our techs had the big idea to plug the iMac into a secondary display, and behold, there was the lady's user and data, proving she had been using it just fine before she broke it. I guess she assumed that all the evidence of her having used the computer was gone because the display was broken.
It doesn't exist if I can't see it.
That's right. That's like a little kid. If you close your eyes, you can't see me. It's too dark.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Please don't tell your people that stuff. Finally, yes.
By the way, what is something for you computer repair guys that the repair guy shouldn't tell the repairee?
Oops.
Yeah. Yeah. Oops.
Well, that's not supposed to happen.
Hey, I'm serious. What? Okay. So this is from one side. Don't tell them this. Don't tell them. What if you're the repair guy? What should you not tell the person that owns the computer?
That's a good, I like, you're just full of questions this week. We're going to have questions of several questions of the week.
I better pace myself or won't have anything next week.
Right. Write that one down. Did you already edit the show notes once? Cause I like the one we had. I saw it online and I was going to steal that, but we're good. Okay. We do have a document to keep track of these other ideas as they come up, you know?
Yeah.
Finally, yeah, sure. Finally, our last article, Cards Against Humanity, one of my favorite card games, is hiring. But there's one catch.
I think it's a pretty big one, actually.
As geeks, most of us know Cards Against Humanity, the company that does everything differently compared to most other corporations. They increased the price on Black Friday, sold people poop instead of their cards, and even dug a giant hole. Now, they want to hire a new CEO. And they placed a full-page ad in the Chicago Tribune to announce it, but there's only one catch. Full text under the picture below. Cards Against Humanity, the number one best-selling card game, is hiring a new CEO. Let's face it, we have no idea what we're doing. This year, we wasted an enormous amount of time and energy trying to get Hillary Clinton elected president. And on Black Friday, we dug a huge hole in the ground because we wanted to find out if it would be funny. It's been a great run, but now it's time for adult leadership. Real adult leadership. Requirements. Right. We are seeking a highly qualified executive to run our company who meets the following requirements. Strong public speaking skills. I can do that. Steady disposition. Remains cool under pressure. Well, we're starting to get further from my truth.
Yeah, no, I was just like,
willing to inherit the consequences of 8 years of irresponsible spending. Starting to sound less... Less qualified and less interesting.
I've been accused of that with my wife. So yeah.
Excellent negotiator, able to deal with stubborn opposition. Experience hunting terrorist masterminds. Minimum 8 years experience president of the United States of America or equivalent nation.
Yeah.
Strongly prefer the first black editor of Harvard Law Review. Must currently hold a national approval rating of 57.2% or higher. Passed comprehensive health care reform.
Yeah.
That the public accepts. Natural born citizen of the United States. Proficient in Microsoft Word, Excel, and PowerPoint. Had to throw that one in there.
Right.
The ideal candidate will be excited to travel for work and be the recipient of Nobel Peace Prize. Women and minorities are strongly encouraged to apply. What's in it for you? If you are the right candidate, we award you 51% of our company, and you can set your own salary. Benefits include health/dental/vision insurance while available.
Yeah, while available.
Generous vacation time. A new computer. Pre-tax transit benefit. I'm surprised a set of Ginsu knives isn't in here. Access to office pantry with unlimited almonds. Paid relocation to Chicago is available. Also, you can be our new dad if you want. Optional, but strongly preferred. About the company? Cards Against Humanity is a game company based in Chicago, Illinois, with about 30 employees. We run a co-working space for independent artists, a full-ride scholarship for women getting degrees in STEM fields, a political action committee, an international shipping company, a private island, and a castle in Ireland. We're also raised nearly $5 million in our nonprofit partners, the Wikimedia Foundation, the Sunlight Foundation, Electronic Frontier Foundation, and DonorsChoose.org, where Cards Against Humanity was funded over 13,000 teacher projects in high-poverty classrooms across the United States. Interested? If you meet our qualifications, please email mail@cardsagainsthumanity.com.
Sounds like they want to hire Obama.
Well, do you think he could write some good cards? You got to wonder if the guy's ever played Cards Against Humanity.
I don't know. Actually, if he knows, since he knows a lot of the stuff we don't know or don't want to know, I bet he can come up with some good ones that would scare the crap out of us.
He probably could. Yeah. Yikes. All right, we are winding down. We just have one more thing to ask you. Your question of the week, and we will post this on the Facebook page as well. What is your favorite quote from science fiction? Oh, there are so many to choose from. I need time to think about that one as well.
I think one that I frequently use is Riker saying he expects to live forever.
I don't know. One of my first things that comes to mind is, oh, God, we're all going to die.
Yeah. A leaf on the wind. There you go. Yes.
There are so many sci-fi things to choose from. They're good.
Oh, wait. I'll be in my bunk.
Oh.
I'll be in my bunk.
I think I'm going to close the show on that one then. If you have a line from science fiction that you want us to know about, call us on the listener line. Pushing the big black button now. 707-530-2428. That's 707-530-CHAT. We want to hear from you. Technorama@chuckchat.com or comment on the Facebook page. What is your favorite quote from science fiction? Do we have anything coming in early? Not yet.
I'm trying to look at the comments, but it's stupid Facebook.
Well, now that I got it on its own page, it's working fine. All right, we are on the social interwebs, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. Go to our webpage, chuckchat.com/technorama. Find out more. We'd love to give you a shout out. Become a patron, patreon.com/technoramapodcast. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being part of the fun. We will see you again real soon on episode 498.
Yep, two more.
Till then, Craig, give me a binary high five.
101. Thank you, everybody. And thank you.
And thank you.